charge of the king of the show. Leaks got the hustle, always on the go. Petty D-stirring, breathing heat. Phonies new school, keeping it elite. Penguins, they chill, smooth with the flow. Freaks got the stats, every number you know. JD's the boss, watch small takes. PTD's the show that debates and shakes. One minute of social wear, pizza's the lily. Hot takes, your mind's the place to hide.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We have a full panel on this week's Pardon the Disruption, the NDL edition. I am your boy, RB. I'm here with Lick, Nidler, Freak, IROC, and hopefully Smitty. I know Smitty's having a little bit of technical difficulties with the audio, but hope to have him on. And fellas, we got five topics today. Really excited to kind of catch up on what's going on here in the league. So we'll dive right into it. First topic for the day, we had a huge result in the league yesterday, Penn State beating Ohio State, which now really creates chaos in the Big Ten. So I ask you guys, and we'll start with Tim, are there some new contenders emerging in the Big Ten, and who do you like going down into Block 7?
So I can't remember if it was on PTD last week or if it was on game day, but I did talk about my dark horse in the Big Ten. This may have been a couple weeks ago, was Minnesota. I thought that what Coach Mellon up there is doing was wonderful things. I said that there was going to be at least two lost team was going to be in second place, and that's where we're sitting right now. And then obviously you can't count out Iowa right now. Sitting at 8-2, 5-2, lots of success there. Wilds, obviously, the conference is shells to lose. But, man, I'm kind of putting my eggs in that Minnesota basket right now. I don't even know what the tiebreaker is right now, but you have, what, like 5-6 teams tied with two losses. And so I'm really big on Minnesota up there, Big Ten.
Yeah, Nidler, we'll go to you next. Your thoughts?
Muted.
All right, we'll go to Rock. I can't hear him. We'll go to Rock.
Okay. Next. All right, for sure. so yeah, I guess yeah, we got a lot of teams here with two losses. I was looking at who got what left, and honestly, speaking of Nidler, he kind of, I don't want to say he controls his own destiny, but he plays Minnesota and Maryland, who are two lost teams left. Maryland plays obviously Nidler and plays Iowa. I think that Maryland Iowa game will be determined. I think Wilds is kind of in the driver's seat, barring these tiebreakers. It's tough to pick. I think I'm gonna go media bias and go Penn State, mostly because the way he just came back and turned things around and murdered me when I was in control of the game back in week 8. You can't underestimate the Penn State Debos. Every person on that defense is built like a creative player. So I lean Penn State, personally.
Freak, we'll go to you next. Your thoughts on the Big Ten?
Being in the Big Ten for 3 seasons, I feel like there's been a bunch of contenders each season. There's always been a dark horse to make the conference championship. When taking a look at the current standings, I believe Penn State is back and is actually in control of his own destiny. When I was reviewing his schedule, he has Maryland and I think if I'm not mistaken, is Maryland and Minnesota left. They're both have 2 losses in the conference, and if he beats them, he should be in the conference championship game. While he's already 2-1 over common tiebreakers of opponents that Iowa has faced in Ohio State and Washington. While he's only lost to Wisconsin, and Iowa beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to the craziness of the tiebreakers. I'm not super into what they all look like right now, but the reason I'm going to go against the grain here with you, Tim, in Minnesota is they play Penn State and myself, and I just think that's going to be tough to overcome or to win both of those games. I'm going to favor Iowa right now. They do have a tough game coming up against Nebraska. It's a big rivalry game, but I think you're going to see Iowa, after a slow start, find their way back into the conference championship and have a chance to crack into the playoff again.
RB, JD said he's back. What do you think?
JD, you with us? Your thoughts on your chance of winning the Big Ten? Care to comment?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yep, we got you.
All right, so both of my last games, you are right, they are Minnesota and Maryland. Unfortunately, both of them are rivalry games. Coach Mallon, I ain't gonna lie, man, that game scares the shit out of me. And I definitely am not discounting T. Wade in Maryland. Both those are gonna be a hell of a fight. If I can beat both of them, I think that I will be in. But to Freak's point, I'm not sure how Iowa, exactly how that plays out. I never dug into it enough. I think that if it comes down to a tiebreaker and it looks at the three teams, then I think I do have an advantage over him with beating Ohio State, but I'm not 100% sure if that's what it comes down to. So I just know that these next two games, I have to approach them the same way that I approached Ohio State, and you know, hopefully we can pull out the W and make it very interesting.
Yeah, it'll be really fun to watch a lot of quality coaches and as we expected, a lot of two lost teams that are going to be relying on some tiebreaker luck or some things to bounce their way, but a lot of ball to be played these last two games. Move on to the next topic. I want to talk about the Beefy Cup here. A lot of great games in the round of 32 and really even in the round of 64 as well. We're moving into the Sweet 16 as we get through this week, but I want to start with you, Tim, again. We'll go in order. Are you keeping an eye on the Beefy Cup, and what are some storylines there that you're intrigued in?
So with the Beefy Cup, I know there's things that are going to change in the Beefy Cup. I think the biggest thing that bothers me about the Beefy Cup right now is we're getting into the playoffs of the season, and it happens every year, is a lot of these matchups are playoff matchups or conference championship matchups, which I don't like. I don't like seeing repetitive games in the NDL. So for me, I get excited when I see teams and coaches that, like Ole Miss right now. Ole Miss moved on, and they'll play either Texas or East Carolina in the next round. And so a matchup like that is something I'm excited about watching. I mean, like, for instance, Virginia Tech and Clemson play each other, already played each other. You're going to have Smitty and Colorado are going to play each other again, potentially, unless Louisville wins. But you get a lot of these similar matchups that you see all season. And so I'm excited for the games that you don't get to see very often in the matchup, which usually you see in the earlier rounds. And so that's once it gets later in the Beefy Cup, I once it's all the same coaches, I quit watching. That's just me. And that's kind of where I'm at. So nothing super exciting for me other than me just riding like the Ole Miss train and the Nebraska train, just because those two coaches and two teams aren't, you know, might not stack up with the other users as well.
Yep. IROC, we'll go to you next.
Yeah, admittedly, once we get past the round of 64, especially after getting dog walked by Big Mike early and often, I kind of stopped paying attention. It was nice to see like those unique games. Like you wouldn't see a Notre Dame, Georgia Southern, for example. Those are two popular coaches watching Old Dominion moving through. Once we like Licks, that once we get to Sweet 16, it's pretty much playoff teams, more or less, outside of a few. So I'll be rooting for Drip God against Clemson just to see somebody different in the Elite Eight, and Ole Miss predominantly, just to see if we can get some different matchups.
Freak.
I unfortunately have not been watching it too closely as I normally do, especially since I just got eliminated by Miami. but I was taking a look at a few of the potential matchups and some of the matchups right now. And I agree that, you know, the playoff teams, that there's a lot of teams that are either vying for the playoffs or conference teams. And I did see two matchups with that I liked, which is Colorado and Louisville, which could be a potential CFP matchup if Louisville can find its way in. And also, you got Wisconsin and Notre Dame is another matchup that I do like. So get your popcorn ready for that.
Diddler?
Yeah, as some of these guys said, I follow it. I don't necessarily watch all the games. I watch for the results of the games. There are key games that I definitely look forward to. You know, there are certain matchups that, you know, as they just mentioned, like the Wisconsin-Notre Dame matchup, that's going to be, you know, a hell of a game. I paid attention to the Old Dominion-Wisconsin game, you know, just because I was curious what Old Dominion would do against, you know, the bigger, badder teams. The Virginia Tech Clemson's, you know, there's a lot of good matchups coming up. One thing that I don't know how to approach it, but one of the things that I think we need to adjust with the Beefy Cup is just changing the, allow the lower rated teams to kind of compete against themselves until you get to a certain point. I know that, you know, Homie tried to change it up this, and make it the, you know, the rounds at the beginning and then, you know, go from there and just kind of be thrown in based on Cup 1 versus Cup 26 or whatever it is. But I almost feel like we need to base it on ranking until you get so far. And then, you know, and then there's other opinions of ways to change it. And we can get into that in a whole nother show. But, you know, there's a lot of good matchups, a lot of good ones to come yet. So the Louisville Colorado is going to be a good matchup in there. The winner of that faces UCF. So there's a lot of great games to come.
Yeah, I kind of side with, kind of against Tim, and I don't mean to make that a theme here, but I kind of like seeing the duplicate matchups, especially the Virginia Tech Clemson one. I know Chase is probably like, you know, damn, I would rather have the regular season win, but it's a chance to see what was a hell of a game happen again, and a little bit of revenge factor as well. You know, I know the regular season is much more weighted and exciting, but I think there is something to be said about bragging rights and about moving on to, you know, the Elite Eight or getting deep into that Beefy Cup. As far as the playoff matchups, it really intrigues me where teams who, like you said, might play each other again have to maybe game plan a little bit different. And again, not that they're trying to lose or anything, but it's like, are you going to show your full hand? I compare it to the NFL where you play your division teams twice and you might not show everything you have in those first two matchups because there's a chance you see them again in the playoffs. So very interested to see some of those matchups. I, for one, I'm loving the Beefy Cup because I'm still in it, and it's a chance to play some higher stakes games, even though it may not tie into the regular season. Go ahead.
I do think, and I have said this before, I do think that the Beefy Cup in general is tougher to win the cup and win first place than I think the playoff is. And I say that because you don't get to pick your matchups in the Beefy Cup. In the regular season, you get to pick your out-of-conference matchups. You kind of draft into your conference knowing what you have for schedule-wise. With the Beefy Cup, you don't. And you don't get the benefit of home field advantage either. When you get later in the round, it's all played in neutral field. And so I truly believe the Beefy Cup winner is a tougher road than the regular season. I'm not ever playing in the college football playoff or the Beefy Cup finals. It's just more fun when I see the lower teams play each other or coaches that just haven't made it very often. I wish we'd reseed teams in the same conference each round so that they wouldn't have to play each other.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think there probably will be some changes, like Nidler said, to the Beefy Cup at some point. We'll move right along here to our next topic. We have a lot of new coaches who have emerged this season, and really more specifically the past couple of weeks. Wanted to give you guys an opportunity to shout out a new coach that you really enjoy seeing here in this league. So, Tim, we'll start with you.
Man, I think Andy's been a lot of fun. He's been all over the chat. He's been in every single one of the Discord channels, which I think sometimes the newer guys may have a minimize or they're not showing all the channels and stuff. But man, Kennesaw State, I think I probably stole the other someone else's answer, but he's probably the one that I noticed the most just because he's posting so much in the chat. But man, we have some guys this season like Georgia Southern, Big Red. He's been all over the chat and stuff. And I love seeing it, seeing some of these newer guys that may not be as familiar with all of us and not, you know, kind of on the outside of some of the groups and stuff that we have here in the NDL.
Yeah, Tim, you took my answer. That's fine. definitely Andy, because I just like his kind of, I guess, NDL sports book thing he's got going on. I think it's a good way to kind of drum up conversation in the chat for just random games are going. It shows one that he's paying attention to the scheduling threads and who's going live, because he put a spread on you're in my game before you got DEFCON at work the other day. But yeah, he's paying attention and he's driving conversation, and I think that's really good for the community as a whole. So Andy's definitely my pick.
Freak, we'll go to you next.
I mean, you guys stole my pick in Toy Story's Andy, but I'll go back to my pick last week. I haven't seen Southern Miss live in the chat so much, but what I will say is I love the fact that he's been trying to adjust his game to the NDLA, as well as he's willing to listen to anyone's comments after the game. I had a great conversation with him after my cup game. We talked a little about his gameplay, and I would have rated him all fives with minimal adjustments, but it's just the way that he is approaching it to asking about his gameplay. And I feel as if other new owners should do the same thing in case if they ever feel that they may not be, they might be doing something wrong.
Midler, we'll go to you next.
You guys mentioned a great one in Andy. The two newest guys, Fishy and Knowles 26. I know Knowles was back in the farm, I think, literally for one season way back when. So he's basically new to the NDL. You know, he's fantastic, and so is Fishy. I've talked to both those guys. I've just got done playing a scrimmage with Fishy. Both very quality dudes. I think that once they get comfortable, you know, posting and becoming part of the group, I think they're going to be very, very solid additions to the league. So those two get my votes.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Andy, but everyone's already brought him up. Love the sports book, the NDL sports book. But one guy I want to shout out is D, who I believe is Eastern Michigan. You know, he's made some comments about, all right, I'm ready for a second team. And it's like, no, man, like, trust me, don't do that. Don't create a burner. Don't go that route. That was kind of a funny little conversation in the live chat. But I really like how he's active and playing games and also just chomping at the bit to play more, which is really what we need. As we go into the end of this season and, you know, the fourth season as well as we go into the springtime. So really wanted to shout out Eastern Michigan and Coach D, which I feel like he's like the fifth guy we call D in this league. But yeah, really great job, JD, admins, anyone who's had their hand in recruiting and growing this league. And a great turn from what we've seen maybe the past couple of seasons. So,
and I want to mention another new guy. His name Ultra, the South Alabama coach. He's one of D's buddies. He came in because of D. D referred him in. So, you know, good job there being new yourself and then also referring a buddy in. So
awesome. The referral program's working. We'll move along here to the CFP, something we haven't talked about yet. You know, Jason and I dove into it in the middle of the week, but we'd love to just get your reactions, kind of an open forum to talk about your thoughts on the CFP. Tim, we'll start again with you and go in the same order.
And I mean, when I look at this thing, I mean, I think the committee's doing a really good job of each week they're taking a look at the sample platter that's put in front of them from games played and everything. As you notice, Texas is no longer on here, which I think they got that right. I think they got it wrong last week. He shouldn't even have been, you know, in their conversation with just the amount of games played. And now you're not seeing it. Obviously, we see some of the games after this thing comes out. You know, I'm the SEC, so I'm super biased, but there's just no way you can put Tennessee in right now. No offense to Vegas out there, but the two huge lopsided losses don't help. So, no, I think they're doing a great job. There's so much football to be played. And so I think you could put LSU a little bit higher. You know, I'd have them ahead of Oklahoma, but that's just me.
Rock, we'll go to you next. Freak had to step out.
For sure. Yeah, I think they've kind of settled in this season with the choices. I think the biggest thing, and I know Six Feet's been very outspoken about small school biases and only having one in there, I think is a testament to kind of how the committee's properly doing the group of putting the group of five down, and we don't really have another group of five like we did last year where we had Doof and who else? We had two like undefeated or near undefeated group of five folks that were mucking things up, and it really it's kind of a easy choice throwing Old Dominion in there right now. Yeah, no real complaints on my part. I think they're doing a great job.
RB, I'm just going to say, fuck the committee. They're doing a terrible job. No, I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, oh my goodness, we got the commissioner has spoken.
Absolutely kidding, guys. They do a phenomenal job. You know, I think Pat said it before, you know, it's one of those thankless jobs that in the league, you know, they're helping make sure they mold and shape the way that the league plays out. And it's a job that it's an extremely tough one. There's a lot of time that those guys dedicate to, you know, in their mind, making sure they get it right. So, you know, again, I can't thank them enough. And again, I'm completely kidding for anybody that, you know, didn't take it that way up at front.
I'm going to splice out clip. That audio.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to splice out that audio and it'll just be you saying that. That's it.
No, I'm with you guys. I think they're doing a fantastic job this season. I don't really have any issues with anything. And Tim, you brought up Texas. I get why they had Texas initially. There wasn't a ton of body of work, but we all know who the Texas coach is, and you know, former national champion was playing in a national championship our first season back in season 29. Like, I get it, but, you know, not glad to see they're out, but they're out now, right? We can tell they're probably not anywhere close until they catch up or get to a spot where they're 8-1 or 9-1 again, which could happen in the matter of a few days. We never know, but I think they're knocking it out of the park. I would love to see a little bit deeper of a ranking. I just would love to know where teams like Minnesota, UNC, and some of these teams that are on the fringe are at, but no, I think they're doing an awesome job, so... We'll go to our last topic here. Want to talk about a game that was played yesterday that had pretty big implications. But we saw Utah and Colorado play. Utah had a chance there at the end. I think they were about a yard short of moving the sticks and putting themselves in position for a tying touchdown on the goal line. Didn't quite get it to work, and then Colorado sealed the deal. I want to ask you guys, is Colorado the most vulnerable team right now that's going down the stretch or that's going into the playoffs?
I think if you said out of the top four seeds, whoever will be the top four seeds, I'd probably say yes. As you can tell, I mean, he had what, like two turnovers, kicked two field goals, and won by eight. I think that you could argue that he'd be the least battle tested out of the top four teams in the top four power conferences. I only say that because I think the SEC is the deepest conference. And then the ACC has, you know, two great quality coaches at the very top, not that DeCandy and like Smitty and Jason and those guys aren't. But I just think, you know, with Clemson right now, arguably the best team in the nation, I just think the ACC is a little deeper this year. And And so I'd say he's probably the most vulnerable out of the top four seeds. But man, I don't know. It's football and it's the NDL and like anything can happen. So I don't really take the close games and blowouts as big as maybe some others do.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I guess I'll agree on that point of out of the top four, sure. But overall, no. If anything, I feel like it's weird to call a game against the number 13 team a trap game, but it almost felt like it with the way the game went with the kick return and the turnovers and all of that. And I think if anything, that shows that the Buffs have resiliency and the ability. And I don't maybe call it clutch, because the only other close game he's had this season is what, against Mitty and UCF, and that game was a barn burner too. That ended on a pick six. So it's like, I wouldn't call them vulnerable. If anything, I feel like this is probably their last game that kind of said, hey, if we have an off game and we can still pull out the win, then we can beat anybody. So I wouldn't call them vulnerable.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Rock, there. I think that it shows, as you said, the resilience. I think it shows that, you know, it's the bend, don't break mentality. It's, you know, there's going to be games that are just going to be battles. You know, and I do want to give a shout out to D Canada for not abusing Travis Hunter on offense. You know, when I played him in the cup game, he plays straight up as could be. And it's, you know, I've played with that team before in blitz, and it's easy to always look Hunter's way. And he does a great job not doing that. You know, he makes sure he mixes it up between his players. So, as you said, I think it shows his resilience, and it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out here when the playoffs come out.
Yeah, I got to start going first because I think I have a great point or a great thought, and then you guys get to all of them before I get to go. But no, you're right, Nidler. Like, you could run slants or crossers with Travis Hunter all day. He'd be open every time, and you could probably rack up 230, 250 yards receiving. So that's a great call out. I will say I think Colorado showed some vulnerabilities, but I don't think they're the most vulnerable team coming down the stretch. To Rock's point and to you as well, JD, like, I think if anything, he's shown like, okay, I have some little flaws, or I've had some mistakes, but I can overcome them because I know my team, I know my game, and I'm clutch, you know, and I know what to do in each situation. And I think his defensive stand there on that fourth down was just a huge testament to that, of like, I'm going to bend but not break. And that was a heck of a game. And I think they'll take care of business. But the big thing is going to be that UCF Colorado rematch. In the conference championship game, if that's how it ends up shaking out. And I think Smitty will really put himself in a position. I would not be surprised to see another barn burner. And the other point too that you made, Rock, which I loved, was, you know, we talk about close games. He's won his close games, which is going to be massive, I think, coming down the stretch. Whereas sometimes guys don't win those close games. That's the story of their season of losing and those 3-point ones. But he's been on the other side of that, and that's going to put him in a position to get that first round bye and be making a deep playoff run. So,
RB, I want to just give a quick shout out. Razorback posted in the chat here, and I do want to mention it. So he said that, you know, can we get a shout out to everyone on when you're doing your rankings to scroll all the way down through the teams to see who's doing what? He said, if you look at it, Penn State, Indiana, and Minnesota, he thinks we're all buried at the bottom. So I just want to mention that. I know when I was doing my rankings, of course, I happened to notice where I am myself, and I was like 104th. Now, no offense to any other teams, but I don't think with my record I deserve to be 104th in the league. So, you know, I'm not saying I deserve to be in top 25, not saying that at all. But what we're saying, guys, is just make sure you're paying attention to where you're putting teams. You know, make sure that you're using that guide. And for some of the new guys, if you don't know, when you're looking at the rankings, it has the teams out to the right. You can click on those teams and you can see the recent games that they have played, just in case you don't know that that's available.
Yeah, that's a great call. And I think Tim mentioned that as well, sitting at 5-2 was kind of buried down that list. I think there is a little bit of a flaw in our polling and our rankings that you know, you only receive points if you get voted in the top 25. You don't vote for anyone beyond the top 25. So if you are one of kind of those buried or forgotten teams, you may end up being 100th, but, you know, that's not because if someone ranked you the 100th team in the league, it's just that you didn't receive any points in the top 25. But great call out, great challenge of like, hey, everyone, like, I know we fall into like, hey, let's get these polls done, let's get them in, but really challenge you guys and everybody to really look into who's doing what, especially at the end of the season here, because those polls do matter. They count for bonus points, they count for ranked wins versus non-ranked teams and vice versa. So really good call out. I appreciate you bringing that up. So anyone else have any kind of final words today as we wrap up?
No, I don't. Get your games in. Get your games in. Get your games in.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Thanks to our panel today. Block 7 is right around the corner starting on Sunday, and we'll wrap up the season strong.